Our scripture readings this morning will be several verses from Genesis chapter 6 and 7, and then Matthew 24, and then a few verses from 1 Peter 3 and 2 Peter 2. So from Genesis 6, beginning with verse 5, the word of the Lord. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, men and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 17, for behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, and to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. The word of the Lord from Genesis 7, beginning with verse 23. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, men and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 years. Genesis 7, beginning with verse 19. It's actually Matthew, verses 23 and 24. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. From 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, the word of the Lord. If he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, and merciful God, whose word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, open and illumine our minds that we may purely and perfectly understand your word, and that our lives may be conformed according to what we understood, that in nothing we may be displeasing unto your majesty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear congregation of Christ, Noah's Ark in Genesis is often taught in children's Sunday schools with pictures of teddy bears, puppies, kitty cats, and many other cuties peeking out of the ark. The ark was captained by a jolly old man on a sea with puffy clouds and a colorful rainbow hovering above. Just so much cuteness and happiness. And the moral lesson is usually Noah obeyed God and he was saved. So must we. But Noah's ark floats in much deeper waters than this cuteness. In last Sunday's part one of our series on the biblical, theological, and historical aspects of the church, we learned that the Garden of Eden was God's temple, and that the church then and there consisted of Adam and Eve. After their fall into sin, they were driven out of Eden. And because of their sin, their firstborn son, Cain, killed his brother Abel, whose descendants would have been God's chosen people. So God created another covenant son named Seth in Abel's place. We read that in Luke 3:38. After many generations, Noah was born, and he fathered three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But God chose Shem's descendants, the Israelites, to be his chosen people. We read that also in Luke 3, verses 34 to 35. Noah's family consisted of his wife, their three sons, and three daughters-in-law, eight in all. Soon after Cain's murder of Abel, the world became filled with all kinds of evil and violence. Therefore, God commanded Noah to build an ark because he would send a great flood on the whole earth. Of the whole human race, only Noah and his family of eight survived the flood because of the ark. Noah's ark, therefore, is the ark of salvation, a foreshadow of our Savior Jesus Christ. Noah's family of shipbuilders who were saved inside the ark was the whole church then, God's covenant people. And all 120 years that Noah was building the ark, he preached righteousness and repentance to the unbelieving world. Therefore, our theme this Lord's Day is the church part two. Shipbuilders and life savers under two headings. First is that the ark is a foreshadow of Christ. Because of the many images and features of the ark that point to Jesus Christ, many pastors and theologians have interpreted the ark in light of our Savior. However, a few features of the ark that are types of Christ tend to be allegorical. They were popular interpretations during the early church and also during the early Middle Ages. The ark, in these interpretations, the ark has one door. And so it is a type of Christ who is the only door of his sheepfold. The only light into the ark comes through one window on the roof, as Jesus is the light of the world. Noah covered the ark inside and out with pitch or tar, and so the atoning blood of Jesus covers our sins. These features might have some merit, but there are other concrete features that deserve more attention to the ark's foreshadowing of Christ. So, first one is the ark was the means by which Noah and his family were saved. So that's very obvious. He obeyed God's commands with faith and fear of God without questioning and grumbling against him. And so Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed the ark for the saving of his household, and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Would you build a boat for 120 years because of a promised great flood when it hardly rained? Noah found favor with God because of his faith, and this faith led to trust and obedience. In the same way, faith alone in Christ alone is the only way to salvation from God's wrath and judgment. He fulfilled this mission in this world to be the ark of salvation to those who believe in him as Savior. So that's the first of type or foreshadowing of Christ by the ark. It was the means of salvation. Second, Noah's ark brought a new creation. So like Adam and Eve, Noah and his family of eight repopulated the world after all other people perished in the flood. This is why God's commandment to Noah after the flood mirrored his commandment to Adam. In Genesis 9:1, God commanded Noah, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The same commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1. Christ, like Noah, brought a new creation to the world. In Christ, we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Christ's resurrection brought believers into newness of life. Romans 6:14. True believers have a new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4:23 and 24. So, the ark was brought salvation to Noah and his family. The ark brought new creation. And third, like Noah's ark, which saved Noah's family and left the world, rest of the world to perish in the flood, Jesus did likewise. Those who believe in Christ are saved from God's wrath, while those who do not believe perish under God's judgment. In the most faithful reading of 1 Peter 3:18 to 21, it is the Spirit of Christ who preached through Noah to disobedient, rebellious people in his world who were suffering God's judgment in prison, that is, hell itself. In the second epistle, Peter calls Noah a herald or a preacher of righteousness. Earlier in his first epistle, Peter says the Spirit of Christ was speaking through the Old Testament prophets who, it says, inquired what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. 1 Peter 1:11. Noah was one of those prophets. Peter is making an analogy between Noah's situation and his own. And just as Christ preached through Noah to an ungodly and disobedient world, so was Peter preaching to hostile, unbelieving people. Those who listened to Noah seven people in his family were saved by the ark, just as those who will believe Peter's preaching of Christ. And both groups of people, Noah's family and believers in Christ today, are very small persecuted minorities in their own times. The ark, it says in Hebrews 11, condemned the world, that is, the unbelieving world. While Noah was building the ark, the people scoffed at him and mocked him. "Where is the downpour that you have been predicting? You're just one of those weather forecasters who are always off the mark." Peter says that throughout this age, people will mock and scoff at the scripture's promise of Jesus' second coming. 2 Peter 3:4 says, "They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.' But as in the days of Noah, people today will carry on with their lives as usual, as if there is no tomorrow, eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Luke 17:27. On a day and hour that no unbelievers expect, judgment day will come like a thief in the night, when God's fiery wrath will be poured out on all the unrepentant, murderers of unborn and newborn infants, LGBTQ, haters of God and Christ, haters of their parents, thieves, the corrupt liars, and those who worship themselves and their money, fame, and power. On that day, the ark will not be the ark of salvation for them, the gracious and merciful Jesus, but the ark of destruction. All those shut out of the ark will perish in a fiery end. So secondly, the church. The first one is the ark, a foretaste or foreshadow of Christ. Secondly, the church, shipbuilders and lifesavers. But all true believers are those inside the ark and those who are united to Christ in faith and repentance of sin. They are safe, sound, and secure in the arms of their Savior and Lord. However, let us never be proud of our salvation. We were also sinners in the hands of a wrathful God before we were given faith and repentance by our gracious Savior. Let us not gloat at the coming destruction of all unrepentant believers, saying in our hearts, "They deserve it because they are evil." Rather, like Noah, let us be shipbuilders and lifesavers. Since the ark is Christ and Noah's family is the church, we who are inside the saving ark of Christ are commanded to also be shipbuilders, building arks and ships. Let us bring those around us who are perishing into the ark of Christ. A multitude of ships must be built in all the nations by those who are already inside the ark. Let us have compassion on those who are doomed for destruction, for we know that outside the heavenly city, the ark of Christ, are the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. Revelation 21:8. Therefore, Let us not only be shipbuilders, but also life savers. Let us pray for them that God will bring many inside the ark of our Lord and Savior. And when all people whom God has chosen from eternity past have been brought into the ark of Christ, the end will come. They will be in the ark in heaven, the heavenly city itself, and all sin, pain, sorrow, and death will cease. God's judgments against the sinful world will also end, and eternal rest will begin. We will be in a new earth and new heaven, where we will all be Noahs who will find rest in eternity. For the name Noah in Hebrew means rest. Genesis 5:29. Jesus promises to all of you who come to him in faith, you will find rest for your souls. Christ calls us to be also life savers. We are to be life preservers who are thrown into the ocean when someone is drowning. The world of drowning unbelievers is in an emergency, a crisis, because the flood that is God's fiery wrath is coming on a day and hour that no one knows. Let us be lifeboats, small boats who rescue passengers on a sinking ship. Let us bring into the lifeboat of Christ everyone who can fit into it. Because when the lifeboat is at capacity, no one is then allowed to board, like all those people who were shut out of Noah's ark when the rains started. All those who are left outside the lifeboat of Christ will perish. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself was the preeminent shipbuilder and lifesaver. So what images do we think of related to Christ and boats? We are reminded that he preached salvation from a boat when thousands of inquirers crowded him on land. We are reminded that many of his disciples were fishermen whom he called to be fishers of men. We are reminded that when they were on a boat during a storm in the sea, his disciples were terrified of death, and he calmed the wind and the waves. Like Noah, Jesus was not the least bothered, sleeping during the storm, for he is sovereign over his own creation, over climate change. We read that after his resurrection, he helped his frustrated disciples fishing all night without any catch. He helped them catch so many fish that the overloaded boat was about to sink. Beloved friends, let us all who believe be also fishers of men, shipbuilders, and lifesavers, because time is short. No one knows when the fiery flood will come and destroy all unrepentant unbelievers, some of them our family and friends. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Christ that God will give to all who believe in Christ as the ark, the Savior. We also must be preachers of righteousness, preachers of the gospel of Christ, in order that when they have faith alone in Christ alone, the Christ of Scripture alone, they will also enter into his ark of salvation. And while we are still in this earthly ark of salvation, waiting for our heavenly ark, let us be nourished with this salvation, with our heavenly feast at the Lord's table.